All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am so glad to be here with you worshiping the Lord on this Lord's Day. I wanted to start off with a very traditional greeting that I ran into a lot in India, and it was praise the Lord, and you would respond with the same. So every time someone comes up to you, they'd say praise the Lord, and they were so energetic. It was just awesome to see the Lord at work in India. This was my second trip. I've gone twice out of a group with a group out of Baton Rouge. Dr. Tommy Middleton takes a team every 2 years. So I was able to go in 2015 and then again here in 2017. So I'd like to talk through some of the stuff that we did on the trip and then a little bit about why I went. So starting off with the what, here's a picture of our team. It was a team of 12. And then we had a couple of other pastors from different states meet us for a pastor's conference and graduation of the Bible college while we were there. It was a team of 12, a doctor, some nurses, Tommy Middleton, and then just a few other people who kind of helped out with the medical clinics and VBS type activities that we did while we were there. All right, the first day we got there, we went to a leper colony. Many of the people, for the first time when they hear that, they say, wow, you went and you were with lepers. So the people had been treated already, so the disease had been cured, but the after effects was still there. So they still had some things that you would see with a traditional leprosy, fingers, toes, and things like that. But the people were so humble. They were so, it was so great to be with them. So we spent the morning with them. This was Sunday, so we had service. And then we went around and we prayed with them. They would just ask for our prayers. And then I saw some people there that I'd seen 2 years ago, and they said, yeah, I remember you, I've been praying for you. So it was good to return and kind of have a relationship that this team has built with this village there. So this is a pastor in that local area that I work with. His name is Joseph. And I keep in contact with him. It's a great thing about trips like this, you build relationships with people. So I talk to him through an app on the phone, and he'll send texts maybe once a week, every couple weeks, just pictures, kind of keep an update. And I'd be able to pray for him and encourage him, and he prays for us and encourages us. It's just great to have brothers in Christ around the world that we're kind of working and partnering with. This is one of the things that you might see in India. It was a temple. So the main religion in India is Hindu, and they worship like 300 million different gods. So we walked out of the place where we were worshiping the one true God, and you see something like this, and it's sad. It's sad to see the state of lostness. The people just, they don't know any different. So that was one of the reasons we were there, to bring the good news of Jesus to them. So this was one of many examples of this place that it's just the lostness in their culture and their different religion. All right, so in that same area, Joseph, the guy I had the picture with, he's there with one of his helpers. They're singing with the kids. So this was a slum school. So these kids come after in the afternoon every day, and he provides schooling for them, a couple hour or two. They do English, they do some basic studies, and he also teaches them the Bible. So they would sing a song in their language, and then they would sing a song in English. So it was neat to see that and interact with the kids. So one of the other things that we did is we had a lot of VBS activities. So the church, First Baptist Church in New Orleans, their children's minister came on the trip, and her helper, and they brought a ton of supplies, bracelets, booklets, and things we did to, you know, pour into the lives of these kids that may not have that kind of love and that kind of encouragement on a daily basis, as well as teach them scripture. All right, so these are some of the bracelets that we made with them. So we were able to share the gospel with them, and that was one of the things we had. So we would go, we would do a medical clinic, and we would take that opportunity to share the gospel with the people as we offered free medical services to them. We brought a lot of prescriptions and medications that we were able to give out while we were on the trip. So these were some of the cross bracelets that we made with the kids, all right? And then as soon as we left that activity, again, this was at nighttime, you could see this temple. This is a different one, but the sad thing was this was in the slums. So the buildings and the houses, you call them a house, the things that they had, the shelters they had made, and then you walk and you see this, and there were people worshiping. It was just this constant reminder of the need for the gospel, the need for the name of Jesus to be lifted up amongst this, all the people groups in the world, especially here where we were at. All right. So the next day, one of the other things we were doing, we were partnered with a group out of Georgia. You've heard Dr. Samuel Thomas speak here with Hope Givers. So we went to a handful of different Hope Givers children's homes there. And this is one of them. This was in a place called Chwala. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. So they had a decent amount of land. So this was outside the city. We drove for an hour or two maybe to get there. And then we go and you can see kind of a water tower. They got a basketball goal, area to play cricket. That was the common sport, or soccer, that they like to play. All right, so this is a part of the team just playing games with the kids. Before we were setting up for the medical clinic. So each place we went, we would generally do a medical clinic, see the kids, see the parents, not the house parents, and kind of just provide what we could for them. We would do a VBS kind of activity, share the gospel, and then we would play games with them and really just love on them and spend time with them. So here's an example too. We had someone who could play guitar, so they came and they did music. The lady there, that's Tommy Middleton's wife, Miss Karen, she was doing signing. So we would sing in English, but she would also do signing because several of the kids could do that as well. So all kinds of talents and abilities are needed and welcomed on a mission trip like this, from playing guitar to singing to be able to sign, and even really do arts and crafts and just love on kids. I mean, that's something that anyone can do. All right, so this was a line. They lined up for the doctor, and that was our doctor. He was a family member of one of the people that had gone. So he actually goes to India two or three times a year, a lot of the times by himself. It was his first trip with this group. But we really enjoyed having him, and he was great with the kids, with the adults, very patient, and good to have on the trip, especially too if any of us needed something. That we had a doctor, we had a nurse that could help us. All right, next. So this was the next orphanage children's home that we went to. It was in Alwar. You can see the cross on the top, and this was also a Hope Givers home here. One of the unique things about this one is they had a place where they had raised chickens. They even had some water buffalo where they were basically self-sustaining. They used the eggs and eventually the meat from the chickens to have meals. So they had kind of set up this place to kind of as a way for the kids to work and kind of feed themselves. It was a neat concept that they had set up here. All right. So this is a group. We actually had split up the team at this point. So half of our team had come here, and most of the team was in with the medical clinic. So it was basically me and these 40 kids. And this is an all boys home here. Some of them are mixed, boys and girls, and some are not. So we took and we made crafts and sang songs, we played games, shared the gospel, so it was a great experience, but it was interesting for about 3 or 4 hours. I had to handle 40 kids, so that was fun. With a translator too, so we had great translators while we were there. There's a Bible college where they teach English and they teach the Bible to the orphans, and we had two or three of them traveling with us the entire time, translating and talking, being able to speak with the kids. All right, so this is a picture as we were leaving with all of them. Another reminder, so as we left, we were driving around, and you see this. It's hard to tell how big it is, but there's a man up there on that scaffold. It's probably 100, 150 feet tall. It's a monkey. I don't know the name of it, but it's one of their gods. It's one of their main ones. So even as we drove around, there were just huge pictures of the lostness of the society. That it was just a constant reminder as we were on the trip. All right, so this is the main orphanage in Kota. There were about 600 kids there, and these are some of the buildings they stay in. This is kind of what you see when you drive in. So this is where we did most of the ministry. This is the church there that was on campus. You could see they had the signs out for the graduation of the Bible college, and they also had a pastor's conference each year when they do this. So pastors will travel from all around the country. There were people that had come on a five-day journey to get there, many taking trains and buses, some combination of those. I talked to one guy, the last 30 hours, he stood up on a train in the lowest class seat so that he could come and get teaching in this Bible conference. They were very committed people. So these are the kids, the 600 kids. When we got there, they were kind of lined up in rows, and they were, you know, waiting for us, and they would sing songs in English. They had songs that they would sing in their language as well. It was very encouraging just to see their energy and the smiles, the happiness that they had. The care that they were given there, having, you know, meals provided every day and a place to stay, whereas a lot of these children had come off the streets and did not have parents and did not have really anything. So the main day there, we had one day of VBS. So we had six groups of 100 kids, and they rotated around. So we each had an assignment. Some people did sports, some people did music, some people did crafts. My area was the gospel. So I was able to share the gospel with 600 kids through a rotation. And that was it was very rewarding. It was very neat to just see that happen and kind of see some of their eyes open up. So we were able to take the names of the people who responded and give it to their leaders, and they're gonna do the follow-up with them. So it was good to have just the way they have their system set up. There's older kids and even 20-year-old kind of kids that leave the different areas. Almost like in college, like dormitories kind of style, how they have set up. We also, one of the activities was a craft, so we gave them a booklet that they were able to make that had all the verses as we shared the gospel through it. So they were super excited about having colors and markers and be able to make these kind of things that they could keep. All right, so this is a video. This is in the church service. So what we had during the pastor's conference, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, each morning and evening, there was a service. It was usually about 2 to 3 hours long. You had 3 to 4 sermons, and each sermon had translators in 1 to 2 other languages. So it was very interesting. In their worship, they were so energetic in some of the worship. So if you'll play this short clip, this is the key, the video. Yeah, if you play the short clip. So that was one of their songs in their language. You could see all the orphans were upstairs, and then downstairs, the men actually sat on the left and the ladies sat on the right. So if you could imagine, if we came in and all the men were on one side and all the women were on the other, it was a cultural thing. But that's kind of how they had all their services when they came in. So this is a picture here of the pastor's
conference. We could try that. We could try that. Next week.
So here's a picture of the pastor's conference. So if you think about it like breakout sessions, they had about 8 different pastors from all kinds of places around the world. And they would come in and they would teach. They would have a translator and they would teach for about 45 minutes or an hour. So this is one of the groups here. This is a guy named Phil Walker out of Mississippi, actually. This was Tommy and another guy out of New Orleans with their translator up front. And then all the ladies, it tends to be a missed opportunity there. There were so many men, so many pastors. We actually had the children's minister from New Orleans came, and she gave a class, and they had this little room set up where there were so many people that showed up between the pastor's wives and the Bible college students that they had to set up chairs out in the hallway and just kind of makeshift an area for them to speak. So they were speaking into the lives of the wives as well. And then we also heard great preaching. So like I said, there were a lot of services, and it was very different because they would sit and they would sing, they would have a sermon, they would sing, they would have a sermon, they would sing, and it was, you know, a 2 to 3 hour service, but it didn't feel like that long. It was just so great to worship with our brothers in a different culture. So this is a guy out of Mississippi as well. His name was Luke. He was probably about my age. He actually travels around India training up pastors for 2 to 3 months at a time, and then comes back to the States for a couple months at a time as well. If you go to the next slide, there's a short clip. And what I wanted to show here was there were 2 different languages. There was Hindi and Telugu that they were translating in. So this is just a short clip. You'll hear it in English and then a language in a language. And this is how all the services went.
And you say, Lord, but what about these people? They don't have to suffer.
Jesus redirects your focus. What is that to you? You follow me.
तुम्हारा मतलब क्या है? तुम मेरी जो बात कह रहा हूँ, तुम तो मेरे पीछे चलो.
यीशु कृष्ण तो अदृश्य में आए संदेश तो नडू.
All right, so you can see how that was. You had to adjust to that. It was interesting, but it was very encouraging just to hear all the different people. The really good translators would take, and they would emphasize the same points. They would raise their hand at the same time, almost mimicking exactly what the guy in English was doing. So it was interesting to see as they rotated different people in and out there. So we also got time just to play with the kids. And this is one of the things that we had taken a picture of. It's a ball. They had made it out of the bags that they bring rice in, so the packaging of the rice that they would eat. And we actually got to play with it. So they were kicking it around like a soccer ball. It was interesting to see that the kids were so joyous and so happy, even though they just the little simplest things like this that they had. All right, it's hard to see, especially the picture on the right. It's not very bright, but we were able to build relationships. So this is a picture from 2015 and again in 2017 this year with some of the kids. So this guy's name was Daniel. He was 15 this year when we came back. So that was a picture of me 2 years ago and then again this trip.
That's cool.
And this was a girl. The 2 years ago, she walked around and they like to carry your backpack for you. So she, a couple different times, she just wanted to carry my backpack. So, but her name was Shandani, and I got to see her again this time too. So same thing, 2015 on the left, 2017 picture on the right. So building relationships, it's a neat thing to see. And really, the kids were so encouraged and happy to see us and see that we care, see that someone loves them, and really just be able to pour into them in kind of a long-term way. This is a picture of all the graduates. So 429 people graduated from their Bible college this year. So this is kind of upstairs on the church facing out as they were lining up. You can see the different colors mean different things. The ones in the front were more advanced degrees, and the blue was the normal degree there. And then bicycles. It was so great to be able to bring the donations that you gave and really represent the church. So these are examples of the bicycles they gave away. So the bicycles cost about $85 a piece, and we were able to raise enough to bring five of those and one motorcycle, which I've got a picture of in a minute. So this is a picture here of some of the pastors standing by the bike. So each one of the pastors there that graduated will go out with a bicycle, a Bible, and they also got a new pair of shoes, and they send them out and they just start churches. There are 55,000 churches that have been started through the Hope Givers organization to this point. So many. Here's a picture of the motorcycle. And actually, when we went, we were told it was $1,500. The price had actually come down to $1,000 when we got there. And the reason was they made them make the engine smaller because of pollution. So the government had forced that mandate. So we were actually able to provide a motorcycle and a half. With the donations that you gave. So, and there were other teams that had done the same thing too, so they'll all be put together and sent out. What the process is, they apply, so everyone got a bicycle, but they apply for a motorcycle. And with the motorcycles, they take these applications, and they were explaining that some of the pastors that got them had churches that up to 30 and 40 churches that they were ministering to. And this is how they were able to do that, by having a motorcycle. So it was neat. It was neat to see that how God multiplies these gifts that we have and able to allow people to do more ministry.
That's great.
We also traveled by train. We had an overnight train ride. That was fun and interesting one night. Didn't really sleep much, but that was toward the end. So this is just a picture of the train station. So that was kind of an overview of what we did. So it was very rewarding to go. I think I may have been impacted more than I impacted in India, or just as much. It's a neat thing to experience. If you've never been on a trip, I encourage you to consider going. I know we have an opportunity coming up in Haiti in a couple months, so please pray about that. But as far as missions go, one short thing I'd like to say about the why. So why do we go? There are about 7 billion people in the world, and that's a lot. 2 billion of those are considered unreached people groups. Unreached meaning there's 2% or less evangelical Christian work amongst their people group. People group being a language, a common language and common area that they live in. So 2 out of the 7 billion people in the world don't have access to Jesus, don't have access to a Bible. There's 200 million of those that have no work going on in their areas at all, zero. They're considered unengaged. The gospel that we have is valuable. Jesus calls us to go at the end of Matthew, the Great Commission. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I will be with you until the end of the age. So God will be with us when we do this. He gives us that promise. He also gives us that command to go. So I would pray that you, I would ask that you consider how you might pray about a mission trip, how you might pray for the team going to Haiti, how you might give. Maybe you can't go, but you could give. How could you sacrificially give to be able to support missions, to be able to send the name of Jesus out into the places where it's never been named before? And also pray how you may go. Is God calling you to go on a short-term trip, a long-term trip? I mean, there's different opportunities there with IMB. So please pray and consider, is Jesus worth it? Is it worth it? Is his name worth it to you? Because there's many people in the world that have never heard. So thank you for your generous donations. So we were able to give a motorcycle and a half and 5 bicycles to be able to send pastors out in India to proclaim the name of Jesus. So praise the Lord for that gift. And thank you for the time this morning.
Amen.